most disrespected person in America is the black woman.
I am the dragon breath of fire.
The most unprotected person in America is the black woman.
Beautiful man, I'm the lion.
The most neglected person in America is the black woman.
Hey everybody, my name is Renata and welcome to Stressed, better known as Speaking to Real Emotions Sisters Suppress Every Day. This podcast is for the sole purpose of supporting women, especially African American and Black women, in the realm of being able to have a space to let our voices be heard. Far too often, Black women are made to feel inferior and like our thoughts and opinions don't mean anything in this world. But time is up and our time is now. Let's get into it. Welcome, 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 everyone. I want to start off first and foremost by thanking God for another day above ground and for blessing me with the activity of my mind and my limbs. Without Him, there is no me, and for that, I'm forever thankful for His grace and mercy that He freely gives me daily. Now, just a disclaimer, I love the Lord. However, the language used and or conversations discussed on this podcast may not rest, rule, and abide in your spirit the way that it does mine or the guests that may be featured from time to time. So govern yourselves accordingly. Stress family, what is going on? We're back. I know per usual it's been a long time, but seriously y'all, life has been happening. We gonna talk about everything that's been going on, but how are y'all doing? I have missed y'all. I've missed wanting to talk to y'all. Like I said, we're gonna get into all of what's been going on with little old me over here. And we're gonna deep dive into some stuff and really just start talking about some stuff because I've kind of been holding back. So I don't want to keep y'all any longer than you already have. But, you know, once again, thank y'all so much. I know we've only had about 6 or 7 episodes of the podcast in total since we launched year one. Season one was definitely a banger. We had a good 4 episodes. And I thank y'all for supporting me because, again, we launched in the middle of the pandemic, in the middle of a time and a lot of stuff was going on. And as the title Stressed implies, sisters, you know, speaking to real emotions that we suppress every day, I think it's important that we talk about those things. So just to go ahead and transition into, you know, like I said, what's been happening since the last episode. You know, last time I dropped the episode, it was August, and we were preparing for wedding ceremony. So that went great. I mean, it was it went by so fast, honestly. It was a beautiful day. It was so great to see so many of my friends and family that I really hadn't seen in person literally since before the start of the pandemic. So to get everybody together, see everybody in person, be able to just talk to people and celebrate with people for such a momentous occasion. Like I said, me and my husband had already been married since November last year. So we were like literally a month and change away from, you know, our first official anniversary. But to get everybody together to see people, like I said, that I hadn't seen in so long. Like one of my friends from high school, I literally have not seen him since we graduated. And for context, I graduated high school some 15 years ago, you know, so I hadn't seen him in a long time. I invited him and he showed up, and that was just, that made my heart smile so much. Seeing my grandmother, you know, I hadn't really got a chance to spend a lot of time with her, you know, just being careful, like I said, because of COVID and just understanding and knowing how it spreads. And even though I'm vaccinated, it's still being careful. Like, I don't want anything to happen to her, of course. I'm just glad that she came. And moreover, that she had a great time. Like, she had a great time with my mother-in-law. They had a great time. Just being out of the house and being around their family, you know, and just spending that time together with people that we hadn't seen such a long time. So that was great. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. To my listeners that came, thank you guys so much. I really do appreciate you guys coming. It definitely wasn't at all about, you know, the gifts or anything like that. Just knowing that we have your support meant the world to us more than anything. For those of you that couldn't come, I definitely understand. Like I said, we live in a crazy world right now. Things are changing. Things are happening every single day, every single week, every single month. And things happen. So again, understand. Just know that we'll be making time, of course, to interact with you guys and see if we can get on one accord, you know, just so we can have that moment with you all. So much love to you guys. So that was September. Around the same time frame, I would say, my husband and I still, you know, like I said, we had got new jobs just before the wedding ceremony, and we were transitioning into that phase. So we've been working in our new roles. I'm definitely getting more comfortable in my position, becoming more and more confident every day in everything that I'm doing. Of course, with any new position, I don't know about anybody else. For me, a lot of times I'm kind of, I guess you could say, scared, fearful, unsure of myself, which I definitely was, but I definitely appreciate the team of people that's around me that's been showing me the ropes of my position, the job that I do. They definitely keep me encouraged every day in knowing what it is that I'm doing and making sure I understand things. This is, I can honestly say, the most confident I've ever been in any job that I've ever worked in my entire life. So I am only expecting greater things going forward from here. So that's a great thing. October was kind of quiet, I guess you could say. Wasn't too much going on, really. Then we got to November. November is kind of like when everything took off. So for my job, my position that I have now, I'm supposed to be going into physical work instead of working from home like I had been doing. They actually had built a brand new building downtown Nashville, and it was like the grand opening I was supposed to go. Turns out that week, me and my husband both had the flu. So, of course, I didn't go anywhere. My husband didn't go anywhere. So that's, like I said, that's where the challenges begin. Simply because, and I'm just going to say it from a woman's perspective. No, I'm not actually a mother. I'm a stepmother, or as some people like to say, bonus mom, whatever the case you may consider the title to be. And I don't want this to come off that I'm complaining, because that's literally what has been holding me back from recording for a long time. Because I felt like things have been happening, and a lot of times when I want to share them or express them in the means of the podcast, I've stopped myself, because I told many people when they asked me about, like, hey, we haven't had an episode from you in a long time, I don't want to be in the spirit of complaining or having a complaining spirit where I'm always complaining about something. There's never anything positive coming after whatever I'm complaining about. I don't like to put out a negative without there being a positive on the other side of things to give it balance, essentially. And I feel like a lot of things that have been happening lately in the last couple weeks, months, whatever the case may be, has really kind of been on a negative tone, and I don't want to lead that way. But I understand also, after talking to a friend of mine, just basically that my podcast is simply that, is my podcast. I can talk about the things that I want to talk about. And then again, going back to the moniker of the podcast, is speaking to real emotions that sisters suppress every day. And I realized that this is something that I've been suppressing for a long time, and I need to let it out. So even if it sounds like I'm complaining, so be it. So what? There are other people out there that are probably experiencing the same or similar things. And they probably need the okay to know that they're not the only ones going through that feeling or that thought process. So part of what we're dealing with right now, and being a stepmom, is I'm trying to strike a balance of figuring out how to be an advocate for my stepson in moments where I feel like he needs it the most. So for instance, the 2 years that he's been in my life, I realized that there were some things that he struggled with. With the pandemic taking place and taking kids out of the classroom and throwing them into a at-home school environment where they're doing virtual schooling, I've noticed that his will to do a lot of stuff just completely went out the window. And I don't think it was just him. I think just kids in general. You know, you switched from being in school 5 days a week, you know, for 7-8 hours a day, so I'm at home 24/7 in my environment where I go to sleep, I play, I do video games, whatever the case may be, and I go to sleep, and I'm doing the same routine every day. Like, I have no desire to actually truly learn anything. And my husband and I spent a good portion of that time frame in being at home, like literally trying to get him to understand like the concepts that were trying to be taught in this virtual environment. And sometimes there were some concepts that he would grasp onto and he would, you know, take it and run with it and he would understand it and move forward. But then there were other things that he still struggled with. And two of those things being reading and math, those are two of my strong suits. And so just in general, going back to school in a physical capacity this past fall has really, really, really been a struggle for him. And a lot of the issues and struggles that we've had in regards to reading and math with him has come at a struggle of wills, essentially, at this point, because it's a weekly thing where there's constant, you know, fussing at him just to do his homework, or in the sense of his school, they've put assignments on the kids for the second 9 weeks where they were required to read 10 books in the second 9 weeks. And they had to take tests on them and pass them, essentially, or for every book that they don't read, they get a 50%, which goes towards their English language arts grade, which essentially, if they don't do the assignments, they fail. So that's been a struggle in and of itself, in trying to get him to just be in the mindset and the frame of, you know, figuring things out. Just been trying to be an advocate as much possible, because again, in helping him and realizing that the general way that most people are taught to learn certain things, it's confusing, you know, and trying to, you know, teach things a different way or show them another way to do things, it's still frustrating in and of itself, because at the end of the day, when you get done with school, or even as an adult, when I get done with work and stuff, I don't want to do any more work at the end of the day. So I can imagine for a child, after being at school learning stuff all day long, you don't want to do any more learning. You want to go and do what you want to do. So that's been, you know, a battle of wills. It's been a battle of working with school systems. And I understand there's struggles on both sides, but I just don't know a lot of times what to do in that struggle. And my husband and I are trying to figure things out. You know, like I said, we're still trying to figure out how things speak to my stepson in a way that he can comprehend and learn, or speak to his will to want to do things so that, you know, he can become, you know, the better version of himself that we know that he can be, that we don't currently see right now in him. And it's kind of sad to me sometimes, because part of what it is right now with him, he's 11 right now, he's about to be 12. And being a young black boy, you know, he's growing. So he's getting taller, he's getting bigger, you know, he's putting on more weight, you know, his hair has grown out. He doesn't like keep like a fade or anything. So he's had dreads and stuff like that. So, you know, a lot of the stuff that we're starting to talk to him about literally has to surround with how he's perceived in public. And as much, you know, as we saw things happening during the pandemic with the Ahmaud Arbery trial, and you know, a lot of times we want to make sure that he is understanding how the world perceives him, and not to say it from a standpoint as he has to present himself a certain way to the world in order to be acknowledged or be accepted, but to understand that how you show up in the world, just being yourself, a lot of times can intimidate people, and he doesn't quite understand that completely just yet. But recently he had gotten sick. He left school early. My husband took him to a doctor. And because of that, they ended up having to do a COVID swab test. He had to do a throat culture for strep. And in doing so, the nurse that he was working with, apparently, he was scared more than anything. He was scared from what my husband was saying. He was scared that anybody was going to stick something up his nose or stick something down his throat. And as a reactionary, him being scared, he grabbed the woman's arm and she was uncomfortable. And my husband had to explain to him later on, like, you can't do things like that, because although you're scared, and I understand that you're scared, you're going to have to use your words to voice that you're scared, because people are not going to perceive you the way that you perceive things, even though you may be communicating without saying the words that you're scared. And the thing was, the woman that, you know, was working with him and trying to get the cultures and the swabs, she was a smaller woman. She, you know, from what my husband described, may have been anywhere between 5'3 and 5'5, small build. And, you know, my stepson is about the same right now at 11. He's about 5'3", 5'4". He's about 130 pounds, possibly. And again, him putting his hands on this person, you know, even though they're in a medical field and they're only doing what's necessary to take the cultures and swabs that they need to. In that moment, I can understand her being intimidated with a child that same size, you know, grabbing her arm as she's about to take a swab, which is something that she does every single day and doesn't think twice about. And what we were trying to explain to him was basically that in these spaces like that, a lot of times people are automatically intimidated by him. And he didn't understand it. He was asking, like, why would anybody be intimidated or scared of me? And I told him, I said, sadly, again, perception is reality until we can explain the difference. And what I mean by that is, I told him, you know, you're born with two strikes. You're born male and then you're born black. That's two strikes against you. And I said, and then we added a third with you growing dreads. You're automatically going to be deemed a threat just by looking at you. People don't even have to say anything to you. They're just going to look at you. And a lot of times people that don't know you, they're going to automatically be scared by you. And they're going to form their own opinions about you, who you are, what you do, what you represent. And they won't even know a thing about you. I said, so even though, you know, you're scared in these situations when you're walking into like a medical professional space, these people are not here to hurt you. They're not here to do anything to make you feel any worse, any better. A lot of times they will give you warnings and things like that. Like, hey, we need to swab your throat. We need to do the swab in your nose, whatever the case may be, to get the different cultures so we can conduct these different tests. It may be uncomfortable for a little while, but just hang in there with us. And I said, maybe what happened in that situation, because again, I wasn't there. Maybe she just went for it thinking, you know, because we're a year and a half into COVID, that at this point you've been tested multiple times. And I don't know if this was his first or second time, whatever the case may be, but maybe she didn't give that fair warning. And then coming at him saying, I've got to swab your throat, I got to swab your nose, you know, that scared him, whatever the case is. I said, but you have to open your mouth and speak and say, I'm uncomfortable. Can we take this slow? Can you explain to me what's going on? Things like that, maybe to decrease anxiety, because I really believe that's strongly what he deals with, is anxiety and fear. But yeah, even in that space, it's a hard conversation, and it kind of boggles my mind that we're having to start having that conversation with him now. But it's the reality that he's growing up. He's getting older. Like I said, he's getting taller. He's getting bigger. His hair is growing longer, and these are real things that are happening on a daily basis. Nobody wants to be that person that is dealing with it in real time with child's name plastered all over the news because of a misunderstanding or because of fear. Somebody else reacted another way because of fear. You know, we try to make him mindful of those things. So again, this is just my experience of, like I said, the last couple weeks. And again, dealing with all of that, my husband and I, like I said, had the flu first week of November. I thought I was getting better that weekend, and I kind of relapsed a little bit. I was doing a little bit too much. I started trying to clean and cook and do some other things, and it kind of relapsed that second week and was sick again the second week with the flu still. So, you know, I'm fine now coming out of it. It's just a lot was happening. Like I said, all the stuff with my stepson happening at the same time. Trying to recover from the flu. Our plan was to, for Thanksgiving, we were going to go to my mother-in-law, spend Thanksgiving with her. But in that, while we were sick, my husband decided to drop his car off to get it fixed. Because he needed to register his car, but for whatever reason. So he took his car to Firestone, and I've never been a proponent for Firestone after dealing with them when I lived in Alabama, but if anything, this situation has just furthered that stance. This is not to shade Firestone, it's just that it just didn't work. Like, whatever they're doing, whatever they're teaching to people that work for them, like, it's not working. It's just not. But essentially, my husband had a check engine light on in his car. And if anybody knows Tennessee, we still have emissions tests that we have to do every freaking year to register our car. So if you've got a check engine light on, you can't register your car until you get the issue fixed, right? So my husband took his car, like I said, to get it checked because he's had multiple things worked on his car that we thought would fix the check engine light situation. Everything has been fixed. Nothing's wrong with the car, but the check engine light was still on. So we took it to Firestone while we were sick and we were both home. And we figured, you know, since we're both down for 2 weeks, you've got 2 full weeks to figure out what's going on with the car, get it fixed, get the check engine light off. So he took it over there. I think after 2 days they called him and was like, oh yeah, everything's fixed, come pick up the car. And as soon as he would pick up the car and drive it out of the parking lot, check engine light would come back on. So he took it back. Second time, same thing happened. They kept it 2 or 3 days at that point. Same thing happened. Called us and said, oh, the car's ready. Got in the car. Turned out of the parking lot. Check engine light came back on. So we took it back. And they took it the third time. They was like, okay, we're going to have the manager look at the car, let you know what's going on. Okay. So a day or two passes and they call and they're like, hey, we don't know what's going on with the car. We need to take it to the dealership. And my husband was like, okay, I'm not paying for that though. And they were like, yeah, you're not paying for anything because we can't figure out what's going on with it. We're going to take it to the dealership, let them look at it so they can try to figure out what's going on. Okay, cool. Mind you, this was the week before Thanksgiving at this point. Mind you, the car went to the shop the first week of November. So keep that in mind. We're 2 weeks now into trying to figure out what's going on to get the check engine light off. So the car gets to the dealership, like a day passes. They finally call my husband and they say, hey, we looked into it. We couldn't figure out what was wrong either. Initially, they had, I guess, some type of specialist, tech specialist or whatever they had there look at the car. They couldn't figure out what was going on. Then they checked the wiring and they were like, aha, that's the issue. That's the problem. Mind you, at the same time, my husband's had a recall on the airbag on his car. So they were like, we're going to do both at the same time, kill two birds with one stone. So it's like, okay, cool. So that was, again, the week before Thanksgiving. That was like a Thursday, I think, either Thursday or Friday. The Thursday or Friday before Thanksgiving, they called and they told us that. And they said the car should be ready by Wednesday, the week of the day before Thanksgiving, which worked out perfectly because we were planning, like I said, to go to my mother-in-law's, which is about 3 hours away in Alabama. And that would work out perfectly. My husband can get off work. We pick up a car. We get on the road. That was our plan. Me being me, I was like, we need a backup plan just in case that doesn't happen. What are we doing? So we were like, we could take my car. Well, the issue is with my car, for whatever reason, when I go on long trips on my car, anytime I go to an area on the road where there's like a hill, like an incline, my car kind of not stalls, but it doesn't accelerate. And it'll be like I have my pedal to the floor. My car will not accelerate. It'll stay at the mile per hour range that I'm going. And depending on the steepness of the incline, if it's too steep, it'll actually start to decelerate, which is really scary. It's happened to me twice now. So I don't take my car on long road trips because I've been told that's a possible issue with the transmission. Transmission's about to go out, whatever the case may be. So I don't take my car on long road trips anymore, honestly. I just drive around town because I don't really go too much of anywhere. Like anywhere I need to go in the city typically gets me where I need to go in about 15, 20 minutes. It's not too much of an incline. Things like that is strictly highway, which is pretty flat around here. So no big deal. So I was like, all right, we could possibly take my car, but there's a chance that that whole deceleration thing could happen. So I was like, all right, cool. We'll wait it out, see what happens. Wednesday of the week of Thanksgiving comes, no phone call, no nothing. Call them and they're like, oh, we ordered the part, we're still waiting for the part to get here. We don't know when it'll be here. It's like, okay, cool. So it was like, all right, we're not going to do anything as far as traveling, unfortunately. So, you know, we talked to my mother-in-law, let her know what was going on. She understood. Turns out the same week of Thanksgiving, my husband's back went out. I don't know how or what happened, but his back went out, so he couldn't lift anything. And then somehow I messed up my arm, my right arm, which is I'm right-handed, so anything on the right side of my body is what I favor more than the left side. I messed up my arm, so I barely could lift anything. So it was just a combination of stuff going on, and I was just really, really frustrated. And I was like, you know what? I'm not even about to get frustrated with this. You know, I have the ability to work. I'm working from home. You know, everybody's gotten done with work at a decent hour and decent time so I can spend time with my family. I had been cooking throughout the week so I didn't have to do like mass cooking technically Tuesday and during the day Wednesday when we were expecting to leave. So most of the stuff had been done already. And I was like, you know what? We're just going to stay here. We're going to enjoy our holiday. I invited my brother and my nephew over, who live here in town. I had already made portions for them that I was going to drop off to them before we left town anyway. So it just kind of worked out. We spent a lot of time together and it was good. It was much needed. it was time for us to rest, recoup, relax. It wasn't as long, of course, as we would like for it to be, but it was necessary in that time. We hadn't, I know for me, for those of you that don't know, I have PCOS. And so with PCOS, one of the big things I struggle with is rest and sleep. One of those symptoms being that I can be extremely wired during the day, or I'll be tired throughout the day, I should say. I'll be extremely tired throughout the day, feeling like I need to take a nap, you know, every hour or so, whatever the case is. But then when it comes nighttime and it's time to go to sleep, I can't sleep. I'm just completely wired. It's hard for me to wind down. So that time frame, as stressful as it was, it gave me time to rest and sleep. Like I said, things with my stepson, of course, they can be rocky during those moments and whatnot. Because, again, with that time frame, we were definitely trying to coax him into, hey, since you're out of school for this time frame, let's get some reading done. Because, again, he had 10 books that he had to read between the beginning of the second 9 weeks, which was like, I want to say October, mid-October, to the end of the semester, which is technically next week. He had 10 books to read and he still hadn't read any, still hadn't taken any tests. And I was like, you know, English language arts grade is good, but if you add all these failing grades for these books you haven't read because you decided not to, you know, it's going to look bad, you know? And yeah, it was a lot of that going on. So like I said, we're starting to level out a little bit now. Like I said, we've had our ups and downs with a lot of that stuff, but he's beginning to understand the gravity of essentially the choices and decisions he's made for himself. I've been, you know, telling my husband a lot that when it came to my stepson and trying to help him with his grades and help him with schooling, just letting him know, like, a lot of this has to do with his will. He has to have the gumption to say, I need to finish these things because these are tasks that have been put on me by my teachers, my instructors. Yes, my dad may know what my assignments are, when they're due, what needs to be done in regards to them. My dad can't do my assignments for me. You know, my stepmom, my bonus mom can't do my assignments for me. My mom can't do my assignments for me. I have to do them. And with these 10 book assignments, I would just say in the last week or so, it's kind of just come over him and he's realizing like, oh crap, I've got to get 10 books done by the end of, not even the end of next week. Like the semester for him is over next Thursday. And that's kind of been hitting him hard. So over the weekend, just he's been pulling books that he's read, I would say, in the last year or so when it came to school assignments or whatever. Because essentially his assignments were with reading the 10 books. They have to be at least 75 pages. They can't be graphic novels or comic book type stuff. It has to be like actual books that he can read on his grade level and things like that. And essentially goes back to what I grew up with, which was AR reading, basically testing on the level that you can read at. You read certain books that were assigned a point value, and based on that point value, however many points we had, we could get stuff from like a school store or something. In this case, it's just to help kids with reading comprehension because the school has noticed that school, you know, across the board for, I believe the school is 5th through 8th grade, that the kids are struggling when it comes to reading comprehension. They're not retaining anything that they read. Doesn't make sense, or they don't understand what it is that they've read. So at this rate, he's been pulling books that he read, like I said, to take tests on those. He's made some good grades, some bad grades. And yeah, it's been an adventure. I will say that. And like I said, I don't mean it to sound like I'm complaining, but from the outside looking in at the situation, like, it's frustrating because I literally can see how the situation could be better, how he could plan better, how he could execute things a lot better to get things done, still have time to do things he want to do in his world, which is play video games, talk to his friends, be on the computer, do various things like that. But his attention a lot of times is solely focused on, you know, what it is that he's not allowed to do. Like, we've had to put restrictions on, you know, during the week, we're not watching TV until schoolwork is done. That's the main restriction. And he'll make a decision, I'm not doing any schoolwork today, which means for him, Monday through Friday, if he makes that decision, he's not watching TV. And his only effort to do things a lot of times is, I want to play my video games, which we specifically said, you know, you can play video games on the weekend after your schoolwork is done. So typically towards the end of the week, a lot of times Thursday, Friday, all of a sudden he's wanting to do homework because he wants to get his game time in over the weekend. So we're juggling, like I said, we're juggling a lot of that stuff right now. With a lot of the stuff that's been happening, you know, we're advocating for him to, you know, just kind of rule out a bunch of things that we think are possibly going on with him before we automatically just go and, you know, find a tutor for him to help him with classes and subjects that he's struggling with, you know. And sadly, we're struggling a lot of times with the school system in that, like the school system and the counselors and the advocates, you know, in higher education or whatnot. They really believe that, you know, we're trying to place labels on him and say that he's special needs or he's special ed. And it's like, that's definitely not what we said. Nobody has said those things. We want to rule out. There's a possibility that there is something going on because, again, that's not our wheelhouse. We don't work in education. Luckily, my mom works in special education. She's actually a special education teacher at a high school. And, you know, we've been discussing that in detail with her just to kind of understand some things, because the way that it's been presented to us was that, like I said, that we were trying to label him as a special needs child. And it's like, nobody said anything about special needs. We want to rule that out as a possibility so that he's not labeled as such. And sadly, you know, the administration is really trying to turn it back in on us and say that, oh, it's just an issue that's happening at your house when it comes to him. Or, you know, by doing so or by getting him tested, you're labeling him as special needs, which takes him down the track to only get a certificate when he does finish high school, as opposed to getting a whole diploma. And it's like, where did any of this come from? So that's kind of, like I said, some of the frustrations we're dealing with right now, but we're getting things together, getting things in order, you know, like I said. And just the main thing is, like I said, I just want to be an advocate for him, because I know a lot of times kids aren't necessarily heard, and I don't want him to think that he's not smart, because he is incredibly smart. He really is. And I know that, like I said, a lot of it has to do with his will of wanting to do things, because it's not interesting to him to do schoolwork. But in the same breath, it's trying to understand what the teachers and administration are dealing with. I understand that there's still an adjustment that's happening, you know, for teachers and administration coming back from a whole year and a half of kids being at home doing virtual school. There's a definite adjustment with that. A lot of kids, in my opinion, were passed on that probably truly didn't need to be passed on, but because of the pandemic and the barriers that it presented, there wasn't a true way to really evaluate kids and say, well, what have you truly learned in the last year and a half since being at home doing virtual school with your parents? We know your parents are not equipped to do this because they're not actual teachers. Some of them are, but the overwhelming majority of them are not. They're at home doing work as well. They're in meetings and things like that, and they don't really have the time to sit down, per se, with their kids individually, who they're used to being away from for 8, 9, 10 hours a day, you know, letting other people educate their child. You know, there's not really a way to sit down and, you know, process what it is that the kids have learned, what they've retained, for that matter, to continue to build on those subjects that they typically learn while they're at school. So yeah, it's been an interesting couple months for us. I mean, all in all, like I said, everything is progressing pretty well. We've, you know, it's had its ups and its downs, but, you know, we're still adjusting to everything, I should say. My husband and I, of course, celebrated our 1-year anniversary the weekend before Thanksgiving, so that was good. The only downside was we went against our first mind. We were talking about going to Hibachi. It was one of our favorite things to do, and we decided instead to go to Cheesecake Factory. And that was quite a disappointment, but, you know, we learned our lesson. You know, go with our first mind. Don't second guess ourselves. Don't doubt. And honestly, that day, that whole weekend for us was literally just about rest. Like, we were pretty much recovered from our flu. You know, we still had little symptoms here and there, sniffles and, you know, a little bit of coughing and stuff like that. So we didn't get to do anything crazy or anything like that. But it was just being able to have that time to ourselves alone which is honestly something we don't get much anymore, was much appreciated, much valued. Much, much valued. So that definitely was a highlight. I know with the holidays coming up, it's one of those time frames where, you know, you start thinking about what you've learned in the last year. You know, what have you, you know, what have you grown from? What are you growing to? You know, what lessons can we take away from the year to go into the next year? And definitely for me this time of year, I definitely start reflecting a lot, because not only is it at the end of the year, it's the beginning of a new year coming up. And for me, you know, that's my birthday also, the beginning of the year. So I start to think, in year 33, what have I experienced? What have I learned? What goals did I set for myself that I accomplished this year? What goals didn't I accomplish? You know, and if I didn't accomplish them, why didn't I accomplish them? And how close am I to accomplishing that goal as we go into the new year? So I really didn't set many expectations for myself for this year. A lot of that in part was due to COVID, and I didn't understand how, with everything that was happening with COVID, was going to affect me, affect, you know, my household, our situation. I didn't know how to move forward with a lot of things, and so I didn't want to put a lot of expectations on myself and then not be able to meet them. But I can gladly say that I did meet my goals I had for myself this year. One of those being to take better care of myself in a medical realm, especially advocating for myself. I had to get new doctors this year, which definitely was a big step back for me, in a sense. It definitely took me towards the end of the year to start figuring out, if I don't like my doctors, I can change them. So I did start advocating for myself as of recently, and I'm getting, you know, a lot of those things back on track, and I'm happy for that. Another one was getting through the wedding ceremony, because we were unsure if it was going to even happen at all for a long time. Originally, we were supposed to have our ceremony in March, but again, because of COVID restrictions and things like that, it got pushed back to September. As things got closer to September, I was like frazzled, on edge, on end. By the time things got to, you know, the week of, I was, for me, eerily calm. And I just kind of took things as they came. Like, there were things, of course, that transpired and happened the day of that irritated me, but I had to calm down and realize that it was just a moment. You know, not everything is perfect, but it's perfect in its timing. It's perfect in the way that it was supposed to happen. So definitely happy for that. But yeah, those were the main goals that I had for this year, honestly. I definitely want to set more goals for myself for 2022. My prayer for me, especially in regards to the podcast, is that I will be more consistent. Not letting my fear, my thought process of complaining, or whatever crazy things come to mind, stop me from really putting out the content and the things that I want to express about what's going on, and even my personal stressors and things that I experience in life, not sharing that, because again, the whole purpose of me starting this podcast was to talk about the things that are happening in my life, and understanding that I'm not the only person that's going through it, and know that there's more than one person that experiences the same things that I experience. They just don't talk about it because of the same fear that I possess. So absolutely, definitely main goal next year in regards to the podcast is just to be more consistent and just expressing the views that I have, even if nobody agrees with them, just knowing that I have the space for me to feel comfortable and feel safe to say the things that I need to say, when I need to say it, how I need to say it. Definitely just on a personal level, I definitely want to get my PCOS under control. In the realm of losing weight, getting my pre-diabetes, type 2 diabetes under control, and just start planning more for the future and where I see myself going from my personal life to my professional life. I just want to be in a better space of knowing what the future potentially holds for me and not worrying, not second guessing, or being concerned about what the future has to hold, essentially. Working on advocating for me more. And not even in a medical sense. Like I said, I'm getting that under control. That is part of the goal, but advocating for myself in needing time for me. And time for me in a sense, getting back to where I was prior to meeting my husband. I got in a space where I was getting comfortable with me. I was okay with being alone with me. And it's not to say that I need distance from them. It's just that sometimes when you're in a space that there's so much noise going on, you need some quiet in your life just to kind of bring you back to your center and your focus. And I feel like a lot of times, for me, I feel like there's so much that's going on for me. There's so many people that rely on me, and I have a hard time saying no. I don't allow myself to recover, recoup, and rest a lot of times because I always feel like there's something that has to be done. Somebody's asking me to do something or asking me to be somewhere or asking me to stand in the gap for them. And I feel like I'm that person that always stands in the gap for other people. But a lot of times I don't feel like there's people that'll stand in the gap for me and advocate for me to say, no, you need to rest. Go rest. Go do whatever it is you need to do to get back to where you need to be so you can be comfortable. You can be in your safe place and know that you have people that you can depend on the way that you are there for people depend on you, if that makes sense. I want people to understand that in that space of rest, like, be an advocate to reach out. Hey, you need childcare, or y'all need childcare? Y'all need some date nights, things like that. Like, people just to automatically reach out and ask that question and not relying or waiting for us to reach out and say, hey, can you keep such and such for a couple hours or for a night? Like, advocate for the people, in a sense, who don't know how to advocate for themselves. Or, in a sense, just know that there are people there that can do for you the way that you do for others. More than anything, I want that for myself. I don't know how to express that in a way to the people, I guess, around me to understand that. Because although, like I said, it's easy for me to automatically say yes to other people, I find it hard to actually express that I need that for myself. Can you be an advocate for me? Can you hold me accountable? Or can you think twice before you ask me and say, let me ask some other people, you know, just to allow me that time to rest and recoup? I do get tired. I do get weary. I mean, hell, I'm tired and weary now, but I'm steadily pushing through because I know that there's things that have to get done. And a lot of times, if I don't do it, it doesn't get done. And I don't like feeling that way, but in a sense, that's just, I feel like that's just my life. But in the same breath, I feel like it shouldn't be that way either. Anywho, again, not to be in a place of complaining, but just saying what it is I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. So, with that being said, I don't even know what to title this particular episode. Probably the advocacy episode. Probably. How to advocate. And I don't even know if it's an answer to how to advocate, but letting it be known that you can advocate for people. And sometimes you may need advocacy, even though you may not know how to ask for it. Maybe that's where it's going. I don't know. Anywho, like I said, it's been a few months, like I said, since I put out an episode. This is like a catch-up episode, pre-holiday type of episode. I do want to do another episode before the end of the year, so y'all hold me accountable. Like I said, hit me up on the Stressed Podcast Facebook group, of course, letting me know what you guys think of today's episode. Get your feedback to me. Like I said, I want to do a holiday episode just before Christmas, if not the weekend before, just to wrap up the year. Let's do some fun topics and talk about some things that we want to do for ourselves going into 2022, things that we want to do to be better versions of ourselves so that we can let some of the stress be off of us as we walk into this new year. We don't need all the extra stress and stuff that we deal with to hold us down as we walk into a new year. There are new things that wait for us on the other side of everything that we're dealing with and going through right now. And I truly and firmly believe that we don't go through these things by ourselves or for ourselves. They're for the people that are watching us and seeing how we go through these things and how we deal with these things, to know that when it's their time and they start going through these things, they can reflect back on the fact that they saw us go through it and deal with it in such a grace, in such a way that they know they can make it through without ever having to question it. So with that being said, I thank you guys so much for tuning in to today's episode. Like I said, look out for another episode here before the new year. I love y'all. Thank y'all so much for tuning in, and I will talk to y'all soon. Thank you.